This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back, and this is 1320 WILS. Thanks for joining us. 40 and foggy at the moment. Tomorrow, cloudy, a high of only 30 down to 14, and even colder on Thursday, partly sunny, a high of just 20, low to 11, so it's going to get a little cooler as we move along. My next guest, it was part of the Trump EPA transition team, former SEC attorney Steve Malloy, is the author of Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. He's also the founder of JunkScience.com. Steve, great to have you on WILS.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me.
A former SEC attorney, how'd you end up getting involved in junk science?
Oh, it's a long story. It involved Saddam Hussein invading Kuwait.
Okay, can you give it to me briefly? That sounds interesting.
Well, when he invaded Kuwait, the whole stock market went to hell, and I lost my job. I was working at a broker-dealer, and I wound up working on environmental issues because I was a lawyer and had a background in statistics. And it just took off from there.
Why is there so much junk science in this area?
Because there's just so much government money, and there's so much politics, and when you put the two together, nothing good is going to happen.
Okay. And now, well, you were part of the Trump EPA transition team. What were the issues being discussed there?
Well, during the campaign, Mr. Trump promised to rein in the EPA. We're going to have clean air and clean water, but everything is going to be done reasonably. We're going to stop the Obama war on the coal industry. We're going to unleash our energy future, but most importantly, rein in the EPA.
Okay. Well, one proposal is to cut the EPA from 15,000 employees down to 5,000. Is that a good idea?
I think so. It's no longer 1970. Most environmental protection is now done by the states. The last two Democrat EPA administrators testified that 85% of environmental protection is done in the states. We can have a much smaller federal EPA to handle some interstate issues and some international issues and some other issues that make sense to be done on a federal level, like pesticide registrations. But by and large, most environments are local and should be regulated locally.
Okay. What happened if we just completely got rid of the EPA?
Well, once again, it's no longer 1970. States have all the, for the most part, states have very good environmental protection agencies. Yeah. It's what people demand nowadays. It's, in 1970, people really didn't think too much about the environment. But in 2017, people think about the environment a lot.
Talking to Steve Malloy, author of Scare Pollution. So about 450 former EPA employees yesterday urged Congress to reject Mr. Pruitt for the position to run the EPA. They say, quote, his record raises serious questions about whose interests he has served to date and whether he agrees with the longstanding tenets of U.S. environmental law. Why do you think so many of them are so concerned?
Well, let's keep in mind that there are about 15,000 EPA employees, so 400. Although, there are a fair amount of Democrats in there, and of course, they may be violating the Hatch Act by engaging in politicking like this. But of course, people at EPA, they're part of the problem. They're the reason EPA, one of the reasons EPA is overregulating. They want to go on their merry way and live out their politics through the environment, and that's not good for the country.
Now, what is the EPA doing right, would you say?
What are they doing right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. most environmental protection is done in the states. I guess to the extent EPA, ever expedites permits and makes, economic activity possible faster, that's something they're doing right. But if they're waging war against the fossil fuel industry, that there's no point to that. It is not improving the environment. It is not improving public health. It is just hurting our economy.
How so, though? I mean, because the clean air regulations, the idea is to cut down on some of the coal plants. Why does that not help the
air? Well, because the air is already clean. The air is not going to be cleaner by the Obama war on coal. Okay, the air was not very clean in the 1960s and 70s. And so we had the EPA and environmental regulation, and we cleaned all that up by about 1990. Over the last 25 years, EPA has just been engaged in regulatory overreach.
Okay, so those that say if we get rid of the regulations, we'll get the air...
We're not getting rid of any regulations, okay? I mean, this is a myth that the environmentalists like to propagate. We're not rolling back environmental regulations. What we're doing is reining in the out-of-control EPA. We're going to have the same clean air, same clean water. Nothing's being rolled back in that way.
Okay, but the restrictions, let's say, on coal plants now, are you saying those will stay in place?
No. Well, first off, the Obama, clean power plan regulations, those have not really been implemented. So those have not, changed the environment at all. Those are gone. Those are going to be gone.
Okay. And now what about the water, the rules on water? Is there any benefit to those, you think?
Well, of course, but we have, except for places like Flint, where, local government and past EPAs have screwed up, drinking water is safe in this country. Our rivers don't catch on fire anymore. I mean, they haven't in a very long time. And while there's always improvements that can be made, we've got to do this stuff in a reasonable way.
But, the argument on the other side is that that's why we need a federal EPA to step in when local officials aren't doing the right thing.
It's possible to have a federal EPA. What's no longer sustainable is to have the crazy EPA we've had. Nixon created the EPA in 1970 as a sop to anti-war activists. It was not really well thought out. So now it's 47 years later. The environment is as clean as it is, the cleanest in the world. We don't need to have the same sort of EPA or same sort of environmental regulations that they had 47 years. We need to tailor things for our society, for what we have now.
So you're saying Nixon actually created the EPA simply as a political gesture?
Excuse me?
Well, you said Nixon created it.
The federal government was already doing environmental protection. It was just done in a number of agencies. What Nixon did was he created the EPA to placate anti-war activists. He thought that was what it was going to take. And so he just combined all the functions into one agency.
Talking to Steve Malloy, author of Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA, also founder of JunkScience.com. What's going to happen with the global warming debate over the next several years here?
Well, President Trump has promised to basically end the federal government's involvement in global warming.
Change, I guess, is the right words, right?
Well, whatever it is, extreme weather, whatever, there used to be global cooling, right? But he has promised to pull the United States out of the Paris climate deal that Obama signed us up for. He has promised to repeal the EPA global warming rules. So all that, at least under President Trump, is going to end.
Is that part of the junk science you write about?
Of course. I'm one of the vintage climate skeptics.
Okay, so I mean, if a lot of this is junk science, what is the real science on environment then?
Well, what do you mean? What is
like, where do you find real environmental science?
What we need to do is look at, measure what's in our environment, determine whether it's safe, and if we think it's not safe, what's going to cost to clean it up.
Right.
That's the sort of analysis we need to do, science and cost-benefit analysis. Under the Obama administration, they were just doing the bidding of the extreme environmental activists and just issuing rules left and right.
Environmentalists would say the business is always going to try to minimize any real serious environmental repercussions on their end. I mean, they're motivated to do that.
Look, if you ran a business that was subject to the EPA, you'd be worried about that too. I mean, these have real costs. And if we're going to impose real costs on people, we got to make sure that there are actual benefits, because otherwise we're just cutting our nose off to spite our face.
Okay. And so who's going to be – are you saying in a sense the federal EPA isn't necessary to protect the environment in any significant way? Is that where we are?
Well, I think the basic message here is that we need to rethink generally – how we're going to protect the environment. Now, we talked earlier, there is a role for some sort of federal environmental participation because there are interstate issues, there are international issues, and then there are issues that just need to be regulated on a national basis, like pesticide registration. But EPA's got no business telling states what they can do in terms of fracking or, you know, mining permits, things like that. Those are just not federal issues. Those are local state issues that should be decided by people back home.
Yeah, the concerns by Democrats about Scott Pruitt and his interests in general. Do you have any issues with his background?
Well, no. I mean, I think Scott Pruitt is a great way to start fixing the EPA. I mean, Scott Pruitt has spent, as Oklahoma Attorney General, the last 8 years suing EPA because EPA acts unconstitutionally and illegally outside of its statutory authority. And so Scott Pruitt is going to, you know, rein in the EPA that way. There are other changes that need to be made to how EPA does science and people's ability to challenge EPA in court. And Congress will get involved in a question about that. And so we're going to see some changes like that.
Scott Malloy, author of Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. And you can find him at junkscience.com, or the founder of junkscience.com. Steve, great to have you on WILS. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.